Hi there, welcome to A Wee Blether About, a podcast from the Academic Skills team at UWS. My name is Linda Riches and I'm one of the Academic Skills Advisors at the University. So today we've got a full house. We've not only got a special guest, but we've got three other advisors as well. And we're delighted to have Andy Carroll along, who is a student at UWS, and he's been at UWS since about 2018, we reckon, and he's still studying today. He's doing his PhD. So hi, Andy. Thanks for coming along.
No, thank you for having me. Delighted to be here.
Great. And we've also got three of our advisors. We've got Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi there.
And we've got Carly. Hi, Carly.
Hi, Linda.
And we've got John. Hi, John.
Hello.
Let's not forget John. So what we're going to do is just have a little chat with Andy, really a little bit about his time at UWS, because he's got lots of really good advice that he can give to other students. And often you'll hear us in academic skills talking about, you know, you must do this, you must do that, but it's far better to hear it from a student who's actually experienced life at UWS and can give us lots of tips and hints. So just to give you a little bit of background, Andy started, as I said, as a student. I think he was doing an undergraduate degree in sports science. He's now doing a PhD in sports psychology, which sounds really impressive. But I'll hand over to Andy in just a second. And just really to get a little bit of background from you, Andy, when you started, how you heard about academic skills, and did you feel a little bit apprehensive about asking for a bit of support with assignments?
Yeah, thank you. So I started UWS in Lanarkshire campus in September 2018. So I heard about the academic skills team actually through one of the open days. So basically what it was, I came from college and I was thinking around like what support is obviously involved that can obviously provide me going forward with these courses. So it was probably the first or second day into the course, and then I heard about the academic skills team, and then from that I basically thought, oh, I really want to give this a go. But the main turnaround was I had an assessment in my first year, and then actually I never passed that assessment, and then after that I used the academic skills team and I ended up getting an A grade. So it was a massive, massive turnaround. But at first I was apprehensive because my friends weren't going to use it. We were thinking, do I need extra support? But what I realised by going to support, it's a really informal environment, is basically going there and basically see what you do need help with. And then from that, it's a massive, massive transformation. I've noticed that the skills I learned back then, I'm still using it to this day.
Yeah, and I think at the time, in 2018, it was actually our team leader, Krista, who was one of the advisors then that you saw initially. And that's fantastic. Then were you surprised that it was a sort of informal chat? Did you feel a little bit nervous going to see her the first time? How did it feel?
Yeah, I was definitely nervous going into the environment because it was something I never had through my college degree. It was basically completely brand new to me, so I didn't know what to expect. So I didn't go into the environment thinking, oh, like, am I going to have like everything sorted? Am I like suitable to be in like this meeting, etc.? So I did have a bit of like imposter syndrome as well going through the whole university journey. And it was probably when I went into the environment, Krista, and also met a few other advisors as well, and everybody was so, so friendly with me. And I feel like that basically like relaxed the whole environment, and it made me a lot more comfortable opening up about where I do struggle and also how I can progress going forward.
Yeah, and that's great to know that you found it friendly, because that's one of the things we always try and emphasise, is that when you come and see us, it's very much a two-way conversation. It's very much on your terms what you want to get out of the appointment, and we do try and keep it as friendly as possible. Interesting what you were mentioning there just about imposter syndrome. I think, John, you had a question a little bit sort of around that sort of self-belief that you wanted to ask Andy.
Well, yeah, Andy, I was just going to ask you, I mean, you've obviously taken a lot from the academic skills appointments, but was there anything you learned kind of independently from us about academic skills kind of through your student journey?
Yeah, I feel definitely by attending the academic skills, because obviously how friendly everybody and supportive everyone was, it led to a massive boost in my, first of all, self-confidence, but self-belief that I actually deserve to kind of be here and like be in this kind of degree programme. So it was basically throughout by going to the academic skills workshops as well, it was basically a massive increase in my self-confidence of thinking, yeah, I do deserve to be here. And then I've got the results to obviously show it as well. So then going back to what I said previously, the main turnaround was when I failed my first assessment. When I went to see academic skills, it was over probably around 5 or 6 visits I had with different advisors as well. So it does show that across the whole team that everybody was fantastic. It was basically going from there, and that's how my self-belief did obviously increase.
Ah, great, that's good. That's good to know. And yeah, and I think sometimes people think it's maybe one visit, you know, and that's it. I've had students say, "Oh, can I come and see you again?" But I think, like you were saying, Andy, is maybe trying to use academic skills throughout that process is important as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Carly, you had a question for Andy.
Yeah, you know, it's so good to hear that not only did your results improve for your assessment, but there's also kind of that personal improvement as well and feeling more confident. So I just wondered if that whole experience provided scope for you to talk to colleagues or peers on your course about academic skills and kind of information share about that.
Yeah, definitely. One of actually my closest friends, who's actually just starting his PhD in the next couple of months, and we basically went through the whole undergrad program together. We were always together. And from that, he was reluctant as well, same as myself, as using academic skills, because the main reason was we're thinking, none of my other friends are going to see them. Do we need extra support? Do they need extra support? Basically, a sense of, it goes back to you feeling, oh, am I good enough here? But it was that turnaround from the result where I thought, no, it's a service, it's there to help us. It's nobody will ever like find out about it. It's not as if you go and see an advisor and it's like plastered everywhere. So nobody will know about that. So that's probably the main turnaround, and actually led to my friend as well. And we actually had like conversations, and I would actually learn to promote academic skills to not only like my friend group, but like other people in my class as well. So, for example, when we're talking about mainly in first and second year, we would get like an extra 10% for like academic writing. I thought that 10% could make a massive difference between an A and a B. So that's how a lot of the academic skills team was basically promoted even further. And actually felt like part of the team as well because of promoting the service. So
that's brilliant. And I think that word of mouth definitely makes a huge difference. I'm sure we've all had that experience of someone coming to see us and they say, "Oh, I came to see you because my friend came to see you and they said it was really helpful." You know, so that's great that you're still spreading the word today. And obviously, in terms of hopefully you've got over the imposter syndrome feelings because you're doing your PhD, which is fantastic. And I think Mary had a question sort of around maybe the PhD work and maybe sort of where you're feeling at now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said earlier as well that you're noticing that you use some of the skills that you learned from academic skills even today. So I just wondered if you could speak a bit to that. How have you seen yourself develop those skills? How are you maybe needing to use them differently now that you're in the PhD? I know it's a big change, but have you seen any particular skills really useful or anything that you're doing differently now?
Yeah, definitely. There is definitely a big, obviously, step up from the undergrad to the master's to the PhD, but I feel like all of these skills can be transferred. So the main aspect for me is I always struggled with my referencing. But from the skills that I learned back in first year, I was still going by the APA style. The academic skills team obviously showed me the correct outline for this, and then I'm still using that to this day. Because one of the most important things, because I'm targeting one of my papers to be published later this year, is referencing. So that's the most important aspect for me. So I've been using that, the skills, mainly in terms of like paragraph and et cetera, grammar, even putting in citations as well. There's so many things that I learned previously that I'm still using to this day. So even though it was from basically the full journey from the undergrad, master's to PhD, it doesn't matter as such because the skills can all be transferable. And I feel like that's a message that I promote to everybody as well. It doesn't matter if you're in first year of your undergrad or your fourth year, there's still a service there that can support you. And then it's still going to basically boost, one, your confidence, but two, your overall grades. And what I've also learned as well by going through the academic skills, and I think I mentioned earlier, was we've actually had in our like PGR cohort, we'll basically organise like writing days, even sometimes writing retreats as well. So basically from the confidence and the skills that academic skills provided me with, even through my undergrad, it's not taking ownership of it. We basically all get kind of that same ownership, but we'll still go into the environment and thinking, yeah, we'll have this, and we'll basically give one another advice on a writing paragraph, and basically from that, that's how academic skills also helped me.
Yeah, great. And those skills kind of have followed you right through as well, which is brilliant. Yeah
definitely, great. Because I think one of the main things as well, you're thinking, how can first year work be related towards like fourth year, master's, PhD, whatever it may be? Whereas when you actually do break it down, yeah, the writing's a step ahead, but the referencing is still the exact same. So that's one of the most important things of thinking, yes, it might be a step ahead, but there's still a service there where you can develop. And that was the most important part for me.
Yeah, brilliant. And in terms of if students are listening to this and they've never come to academic skills, or they're really apprehensive, they're not really sure, you know, how that it would help them, is there something that you would advise them when you'd speak to people about academic skills? Is there sort of one bit of advice that you give them about it?
Yeah, I think the most important part is obviously getting, like I've always said, like your comfort zone is here and success is basically just outside of it. So that's what I've always believed. So I feel like by having the first appointment, even if you have it online as well, because what I did notice for a first appointment, if you're in the comfort of your own home environments, then it could feel like an easier transition as opposed to going meeting like face to face for the first time.
Yeah.
So that's probably one of the advice that I would provide, would be to, if you do feel confident like in person, and absolutely great, but for me or anybody else, I would think the first one you could have it online. But also, again, it's about like putting yourself out there. So basically putting yourself in the right positions and scenarios, and then from that you will see results. So it's definitely like once you get out of your comfort zone, or even if you've got a friend or like a colleague or even a staff member who can basically give their perspective on it, then I feel like that can benefit as well. And I actually attended, I gave a talk over at a high school in Hamilton, and then some of the questions they were asking me is about the support. And then this was one of the academic skills and also other services is what I was basically promoting as well. So it's showing that it's not only people in university, it's people from school that are looking at applying to university already, they're thinking of what support is going to be available.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point is, you know, is people having the, or students, potential students having the knowledge of what support is there, so that when they come, there is a support network, which, as you know, there is. Maybe just to sort of finish off, Andy, you've spoken to us before about sort of work-life balance and the kind of balance of a student. And I know that's something that, especially as a sports student, that you're very aware of. Can you maybe just give a little bit of advice on that and how that's worked for you? Because obviously, you know, you're doing a PhD, that's a lot of work, that's a lot of commitment. How do you balance that? And is there any advice that you can give students on that?
Yeah, definitely. So in terms of my like work-life balance, probably through, it got to around going into my third year of my undergrad, where I would basically be in my laptop, I would try and study all day, but what I was writing down, it wasn't like good enough to obviously like submit. So what I did start doing is basically taking myself away after 90 minutes, because what I have read up in is after 90 minutes, that's when your ultimate concentration levels lie. So from that, I've basically took myself away and take breaks. So don't sit like all day on your laptop and basically like write, try and write a study, write a report, write an essay, whatever it may be. Like take yourself away, like give yourself a break. If that's been going outside, putting a telly on or doing something unrelatable towards that, what that task is. But I feel basically in terms of work-life balance now, I'm working in a university gym as well. So that's basically taken me like another, like my mind away from like the PhD life, as we would say to our cohort. But yeah, that's probably like one of the main things that I have learned. And it did take me longer than I did hope for, but it's something now that you obviously I have learned to basically take myself away from constantly studying all the time, because I thought after, well, sometimes even after an hour, it's basically you're completely switched off and what you're writing isn't going to represent like what you're going to be doing as well for your study.
Yeah, and I bet sometimes some of those ideas and things come to you when you're not sitting in front of the laptop. I bet you're 100%. In the middle of doing something at the gym and you're like, oh, that's how I could do that.
I was out a walk the other day and then an idea came to me about how I can like restructure my discussion. So yeah. I thought that's coming from a walk. So yeah. I thought, I need to go more walks and then maybe finish it early.
Yeah. That's brilliant, Andy. I don't know if anyone's got any other questions that they wanted to ask, because you've given us a really good sort of idea of how academic skills has helped you, and you know, throughout that journey. So thanks so much for speaking to us. I think that will be really helpful for a lot of students to hear it from a student's perspective, and hopefully that encourages people to come along and just know that it's going to make a difference.
No, definitely.
And I really liked your comment about that sort of where, you know, being just outside the comfort zone. I think that all kind of resonated with us. And, you know, it's that idea, isn't it, that sometimes you've just got to maybe make yourself a little bit uncomfortable to get that support and reap that reward.
Yeah, it's definitely like a sense of being uncomfortable to become comfortable. So it's definitely from that aspect where I thought, yeah, it's how I want to progress and where I want to go is basically dictated the support I've had. And again, it builds up connections as well. So I won't go into too much detail, but it's all about networking for the long run as well. So it's building connections. And then my main advice would basically be get yourself outside your comfort zone and make yourself known as well. And the support's there for you.
Yeah. No, that's great. So thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Yeah, it really good to hear you talking about that. And hopefully for people listening, you know, remember you can book a one-to-one appointment with us. If that's inspired you and you think, not tried academic skills, but maybe I should, then do come in and have a chat to us. And as always, if there's a topic that you want us to discuss, or like Andy, you've got some advice that you want to pass on to other students, then email us skills@uws.ac.uk. So I'll just say bye to everyone. Bye, Mary. Bye, John. Bye, Carly.
Bye.
Bye.
And thanks, Andy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.